stand by while NCLA cuts through the noise to signal abuse of administrative power. This is Administrative Static with Mark Chenoweth and John Vecchione.
Welcome to Administrative Static, and today Mark and I are joined by Janine Yunus, as usual, but this time we are not going to be reporting on other cases, but our own case. And last week, we discussed very interesting testimony before Congress on emails, but by a guy named David Morins, who was a senior scientific advisor at the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, who—
To Dr. Fauci.
And what he had done is he was saying all the ways that they avoided Freedom of Information Act requests, FOIA requests, and also other congressional requests, and basically any information that people would try to get, there'd be no paper record because they designed it that way, which is a no-no under both FOIA and under civil discovery, in case you're wondering. So, Janine, we talked about some of this stuff, and maybe we'll go over some of the more spectacular emails today. But what have we done about it?
Well, following the revelations from Dr. Morins' testimony a couple of weeks ago, we have written a litigation hold letter to various parties. So, including Dr. Morins, Dr. Fauci, some of the other recipients of the emails where they're talking about avoiding FOIA through use of Gmail and also deletion of emails.
Tell our audience what a litigation hold letter is.
Yeah, I was going to get there. basically, we're saying you're on notice that you're under a legal obligation not to delete emails, as you have said you've been doing. And we have indicated that we may subpoena them as well. And I think an important component is we also included Google, because Google doesn't really have the same motivation as some of the participants in the scheme to delete emails. So presumably the Google servers may have emails that even, you know, Fauci or Morins have deleted. So basically we're putting them on notice of their legal obligation not to delete, to hold on to the evidence, and letting them know that we may very well issue subpoenas given what we've heard. Also, Fauci testified about this before the same subcommittee on Monday. And as I expected, he threw Morins under the bus. That's what I would have done if I were in his shoes and seemed to have the same flexible relationship with the truth that he has. Because, you know, these were all Morins' emails saying, Tony is too smart to use his official email. Tony knows how to, this has a secret back channel. And so Fauci just said, I don't know what this guy Morins is talking about. I mean, he says that. I didn't say that, which is, you know, these are Morins' emails, not Fauci's emails. But
how long did they work together, these two?
Actually, that's a good question. I don't know that I have an answer to that offhand. I mean, one thing, you know, this is sort of common sense, but in—
Well, hang on. I just want to say this. From David Morins to Peter Daszak, C.C. Gerald Koish and Rich Roberts and Robert Kessler and a guy named
A bunch of people who appeared to be working on gain-of-function research, I think.
P.S. I forgot to say, there's no worry about FOIAs. I can either send stuff to Tony on his private Gmail or hand it to him at work or at his house. He's too smart to let colleagues send him stuff that could cause trouble.
Yeah, that's something in criminal law that we would call like a present sense impression, I think. I mean, it's sort of common sense, but, you know, when someone is saying something to people without, you know, without the specter of any kind of criminal or other liability and thinks he's communicating in private, there's no motivation in this context for Dr. Morins to sort of be making this up.
Yeah, I mean,
if he was, someone would have written back and said, what the hell are you talking
this
about,
is an Dr. outrage. Morins? I am outraged you are hiding from the American people their own documents that are theirs and not yours.
So it's pretty clear that this is what they were actually doing. And we also have, there are dozens of emails like this. At no point does anybody say, I have no idea what you're talking about, Dr. Morins.
And then he follows up, please feel free to share any docs that I've sent to you with Tony. Hopefully you can do that in a way that avoids FOIA. And if not possible, just show them stuff on screen share on Zoom. I mean, it is unreal. And the thing
and
is,
you also thought he was quite funny, but
I did. There were certain statements he made about both alcohol and inappropriate activities with women that I did think were funny. I have to admit, because the idea that he had to keep drinking just in case FOIA showed up is an inherently funny concept, yeah, in my view. But in any event, let's see. I just want to let's talk about your letter to these folks, and also we do say that we will issue subpoenas, and there's some, you know, because of the posture of the case, you know, we don't just issue subpoenas willy-nilly. It's before the Supreme Court, but this is an important matter, and the parties who's a party right now? Who's already in the case?
Well, that's actually a complicated question. Yeah. So Fauci is in the case, but only below.
Right.
The higher courts kicked him out of the preliminary injunction. Right. So the case is still in the lower court where he was part of the injunction. And so he's still part of the court denied a motion to dismiss shortly before it issued the preliminary injunction. So since it denied the motion to dismiss as to, you know, among other people, Fauci is still in the case below. So he's the only one who's a party. So all of these other people are non-parties.
And they have information, so we're going to subpoena that information
And they might – well, according to these emails, they may be more likely to have the information since they weren't sitting around deleting Gmails and probably haven't been for the past couple of weeks.
Why don't we say I think you've made we've made, because – I'm on a two, but your signature. So let's you say here, Dr. Morin sent numerous emails indicating that he and others were intentionally deleting emails, which is also a violation of the law. And then you cite it, and I've read some of that. Mm. But you also say, you know, what do you think is untruthful? Fauci has now spoken twice before Congress on these matters, and we didn't focus so much on gain of function, at least for our clients.
Yeah.
That was more the states in it, but it's an important matter.
Yeah.
And what did Dr. Fauci? What makes you think he was less than truthful with Congress?
That's an important point. So he was. We deposed him in November of 2022, the day before Thanksgiving. I remember very vividly.
Yes, I do too.
He said he was asked whether or not he CC'd his Gmail account when replying to official emails about gain of function research or other things, and he said he did not. He didn't believe he did. Now, I suppose one could argue that's not, you know, he wasn't asked, well, did you just use your Gmail? But, you know, if you were answering truthfully and you were interested in pursuit of the truth, you would say, well, okay, no, I didn't see my Gmail, but sometimes I just used it. I think he was at least gave misleading testimony, if not technically outright perjurious testimony. And, you know, it's true that this wasn't what we think they were discussing here was not directly related to our clients, which that case is about, you know, social media censorship and the government's involvement in that. But then this seems to be about gain of function research and Fauci's likely.
But that was suppressed as well. I mean, that was the topic that
was
suppressed.
That's true. And we think that's one reason the government wanted to suppress it was because they were actually involved in creation of the coronavirus, which wouldn't look very good for some of these people.
You think that would be bad, as George Costanza says? I was not aware of that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Having created the coronavirus and then acting as though you're a saint for standing up to Trump to stop it is, you know, might cause
I'm reminded of Catch 22. There's a character, Milo Minderbinder, who sells weapons to both sides, to the Allies and the Axis, and his main thing. And that would be like that.
Yeah.
Fauci would be creating the virus and fighting the virus. So.
Right. I also think it's a reasonable inference that if he was deleting emails related to this and using Gmail to circumvent discovery or FOIA requests, he may very well have been doing that with respect to misconduct in other contexts, such as censorship.
Right.
So we look forward to continuing to pursue this and letting Americans, you know,
And I want to read a part of this letter because I think it's important. Plaintiffs hereby notify Drs. Fauci, Morins, Daszak, Koish, maybe, Roberts, Collins, and Ms. Prado of their obligation to preserve all documents and electronically stored information, drafts, copies, and backups as defined by Federal Civil Procedures 34 and 45, along with any paper files they and their employees maintain. Since Drs. Fauci and Morins were unlawfully using private email, and here, it's unlawful if you're hiding it.
Yeah.
What you're supposed to do is if inadvertently or otherwise you use personal email, then you transfer it to the government or you print it out in hard copies. It is likewise unlawful to delete or attempt to delete any email sent or received in their official capacities employees of the NIH. Moreover, as there is already evidence of deletion of emails, the recipients of this letter are instructed to maintain relevant hard drives and all other sources of electronic storage. You need to list them. That may contain remnants of email messages as they are, with no further deletion or alteration of metadata and no opportunity to further overwrite data. And then you explain why they have to do that. So I think it's pretty darn clear what their obligations are, and certainly from the date of this, I think all federal employees are told what their obligations are. There are all kinds of memos and stuff, but this tells them in no uncertain terms. And so we hope that they'll hang on to it, and I certainly think Google has no reason to go around deleting stuff.
Some of the other, you know, like Peter Daszak, who works at EcoHealth Alliance and has an email address to that effect, and then, you know, Gerald Kush at Boston University, those servers may very well have information on them.
Exactly.
and less motivation to delete them.
That's right. And so we happen to be here on a day when the Supreme Court issued opinions, but not Murthy. So Murthy will be issued sometime this month, and we will hopefully be back before the district court.
Yep. We will.
All right. Thank you very much, Janine. This is an important letter.
You.